hosting jobs for our mob, and President Biden pulls out of the election race. Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. An Indigenous-led e-waste recycling hub employing young Aboriginal men and women officially opens today in Brendale, north of Brisbane. The social enterprise from Worldview Group aims to supply the critical need for data disposal services in Queensland, as well as provide employment opportunities and life skills education for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people facing disadvantage. The launch includes a site tour and a bush tucker afternoon tea, accompanied by the Brisbane Aboriginal Women's Youth Dancers, performing the songs of the late songman Uncle Cecil McLeod. Worldview co-founder Kurt Gruber says they're expanding to Brisbane from the company's Canberra base and hopes to ultimately boost Aboriginal employment across Australia.
The social enterprise has been operating up here for a number of years in a smaller facility, but we hadn't been able to bring the Worldview programs to kind of help the Indigenous youth, which is our secret sauce and our twist on how we're helping to close the gap. We use our employment, our social enterprise and the workflows we generate to employ people who need a hand overcoming barriers to success, and we give sort of wraparound support and holistic care and to help them achieve their goals and move on to great careers.
A new study has revealed Australian welders have been exposed to cancer-causing chemicals in their workplace. National Radio News' Amy O'Halloran has a story.
Data released by Curtin University shows about 90% of survey participants were exposed to welding fumes with little protection available. Welding fume is a mixture of particles and gases produced when a metal is heated above its boiling point.
At least 60,000 people are employed as welders, but then there's also people who do welding as part of their job that aren't welders, and people who work in the same area as welders.
Study author Dr. Renee Carey has told National Radio News that workplaces need to increase ventilation, respiratory protection and awareness. Two-thirds of respondents say they welded in restricted spaces and nearly half say they worked in confined spaces.
United States President Joe Biden has ended his re-election campaign after fellow Democrats lost faith in his mental acuity and his ability to beat Donald Trump, endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris to replace him as the party's candidate. In a post on X, Biden said he will remain in his role as president and commander-in-chief until his term ends on January 2025 and will address the public this week. His post reads, "It's been the greatest honour of my life to serve as your president, and while it's been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it's in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as the president for the remainder of my term." The United States is almost 4 months out from its federal election. We'll have more coming up next.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for mob who were taken from family and community when they were kids.
The Stolen Generations in the Northern Territory, the ACT or Jervis Bay.
It's acknowledgement and payment for survivors to help with healing.
You can apply right now or just find out more. Call 1-800-566-111.
Or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
To sport, and round 19 of the AFL is wrapped up with Carlton beating North Melbourne 107-88. Yesterday, Fremantle beat Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions beat Ladder leader Sydney 79-77. That win is now the seventh in the row for Brisbane. On Saturday, St Kilda beat West Coast 113-41. GWS beat Gold Coast 89-50, Hawthorn flogged Collingwood 133-67, and elsewhere on Saturday, the Bulldogs got a win against Geelong and Port beat Richmond 116-75. And a British teenager has made headlines after letting off the gas too early in a 200-metre sprint. While at the under-18 European Athletics Championships in Slovakia, Jake Odie Jordan pulled out in front of everyone and gained a decent lead. However, with 50 metres to go, he eased off and ended up finishing fifth and was knocked out of the competition. Odie Jordan says, "It's all right, I mean, it's my fault, so I cannot be sad about anything but myself." To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed any bulletins, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub?
It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, it can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Apunipamai Clinic and Wellbeing Centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have you seen Yana Strong, your mob, too deadly? All right, we're going to talk to a deadly brother now, Chasten Hunter. He's a winner of the Tropical North Queensland Training Awards finalist and kicking goals and Gunganji man. And I've got the brother on the line to talk about his win and what he's doing with his life. Chasten, good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm not too bad. Yourself?
I'm good. Congratulations. And before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, bro.
I'm Chasten Hunter from Yarrabah, from Pradgun Ganji, man. On my mum's side. And I'm Cardwell. I'm German mob from Cardwell.
From Cardwell, brother, beautiful. Close to the water, no matter where you look at it. Look, congratulations, my brother. Tropical North Queensland Training Awards finalist. Tell us the work that you do and finalist for what area and where did you pick the trophy up from? Where did you get the, where were the awards being held? And paint that picture, please, brother.
So I started off from over the hills there in Yarrabah. Lucky for GM Light offered me a job. Yes. Winning that job, I did Cert 3 at TAFE with Conservation of Land and Ecosystem.
Yes.
Went down that pathway, finished my training, did courses and stuff on working on sea country, like my dive courses, picking up rubbish, looking after country. Then I was pretty grateful for the story that we put together.
Yeah.
For me to get nominated as a finalist in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Awards.
Yeah.
Up in Port Douglas. And so yeah, that was alright, and then everything started falling into place.
I was just saying, brother, and you're doing the job there, but you weren't doing it for any awards. But it's good to get recognised.
Nah.
It's good to get recognised, brother.
Yeah. And I was pretty lucky there with Experience Call, you know,
yes.
Coming out in the reef there.
Yes.
Doing my dive tickets. Yeah.
So it's a team effort, eh, brother? And big shout out to Experience Co. Reef Unlimited. And I work there with that company. We do a lot working with you mob, Rangers. And now you've picked up an award. And the other thing, my brother, happy birthday. Too deadly.
No, yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
So congratulations, brother. And now where do you go from here? What's the vision for you?
Where I go from here? I'm just on a on a journey, you know. Don't know where it's going to take me, but I'm currently down in New South Wales.
Cold, brother, cold.
Cold weather down here, you know. I'm from Queensland.
Little Murray from North Queensland, Yarrabah, of course you'd be cold, cuss.
Just did my basic training. Going through some more basic training here. And Victoria down in Albury.
Yep. How long you down there for, brother?
I'm hoping to get out of here by September.
September, yeah, bro.
Get back up near family, warm country.
Yeah, bro. Yep.
But yeah, just, you know, one day at a time.
Yep, exactly. And look, you're kicking goals. You are out of your comfort zone, being down there in cold country. And that's the thing, my brother. Everything that we want in life, it's outside our comfort zone. So you got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable, my brother. Once you're receiving all your certificates and awards and what have you, then that's being uncomfortable. Then you're going to be very comfortable in that position, full of knowledge, Cuss.
Yeah, 100%, you know. You got to wake up, as you say, you know, you got to wake up, look in the mirror.
Yeah, look in the mirror, talk to the brother in the mirror. That's right, brother. You're listening, hey, don't you?
Yeah.
And you wish him happy birthday and you tell him have a deadly day and you tell him be good at the job that he does and be a student for life, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, cuss. Too deadly, brother. Yeah. So were you here in Port Douglas for the awards?
Yeah, so I was pretty lucky to come home for a week.
Yep.
And then the next day, after a horse flood, you know, back to that cold country.
And look, that's a big thing, brother. The fact that you're down there, cold country, not your territory, not your country, down there for, then you come home, warm country, on your country, for the awards, you pick up the awards, but then you get on the plane next day and go back down to where you're supposed to go for your continuing training. So good on you for doing that, brother. That's hard yakka.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a bit tough decision, you know, waking up that next morning. I got to get back on the plane, man.
And you did it, brother. And you're doing it. You're enjoying the journey. So you got younger brothers and sisters, Chaston?
Yeah, I got one older brother, three sisters, and one younger brother.
See?
And I got my own little son now, too. So.
Well, there you go, brother. Yeah. You got to perform your father now.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, they say you'd lead from the front, brother. You'd be man to yourself before anybody else. You're going to be a warrior of the 21st century, cuss. And you succeeding and winning these awards and finishing your training, that is a true warrior, my brother. And you need to stand strong for your family, for your little one, bro.
Yeah, that's it.
Too deadly. Well, congratulations once again, cuss, and happy birthday. And enjoy your day and keep doing what you're doing. Don't come home till you're trained up, brother.
Yeah, that's my goal.
That's your goal, exactly.
That's my goal, yeah.
So stay on the goal, my brother. Good yarn with you, cuss, and look, we'll yarn soon. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and stay warm, brother. We'll yarn soon, cuss.
That's the one. thank you for that.
One love, brother.
Recognizing me and giving the opportunity to speak on radio. And big shout out to, you know, GMY.
Yes.
Still doing deadly.
Too deadly. Good. Yeah. Paving the way, brother, for your other brothers and sisters and your mob back home. But you take care, Chaston. All of us. Happy birthday, cuss.
All right. Thank you. See you later.
Deadly yarn there. Chaston Hunter, Tropical North Queensland Training Awards finalist, picked up the trophy, a winner in the TNQ Training Awards. Fantastic. And down there in New South Wales, cold country, down there continuing with his training. But he flew home for the awards, picked up the trophy, and he flew back. He went back again. He hates it down there because it's very cold, but that's what it's all about, continuing on. And he went back down. So fantastic. And shooting for the goals. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, your mob. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbleybrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm overreacting. acting. Just sick of you asking me over and over. Then tell me it's over. When I say it's complicated, when I don't.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. So do have you saying yarn up strong. I'm going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Adil Razi, talking about a fantastic opportunity here in regarding the dementia disease. First of its kind test can predict dementia up to 9 years before diagnosis. And we do have Associate Professor Adil on the line. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I'm in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
And it's raining.
Okay, I'm in Cairns, far north Queensland, with a pair of football shorts and singlet on. Sorry, I didn't mean to torment you like that. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, this is a breakthrough. This is fantastic. First of a kind test can predict dementia up to 9 years before diagnosis. Does this help in regarding prevention, does it not?
Yes, this is about early. It's about early prevention, so we can start treatment early.
Yes.
If we can detect the dementia earlier.
And when you say up to 9 years before, is there a time, is there an age where people get dementia?
Dementia is a old age disease. Mm. So usually it's into older than 70, 65 to 70 years. This is when usually people will show the symptoms for the disease. But the disease could be there two decades earlier. So like in your 50s or 40s, some people would start to would have the disease building up But it only shows, it's a slowly moving disease. It only shows up a couple of decades later in your late 60s or early 70s or 80s.
And Professor Deal, how do you find this person? What's the process? How do you find out, predict dementia 9 years before the actual diagnosis?
Yes, so for this we need to understand how the dementia is caused.
Mm.
So it is caused by protein accumulation in the brain, which makes the brain cells die.
Okay.
It is a slow and long process, and it starts several decades before the symptoms, as I was saying before.
Mm.
So we use a method called magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, which we use to first perform a brain scan.
Mm-hmm.
We then use this brain scan to specifically focus on some parts of the brain which know where the dementia starts. So those parts of the brain, they form a small network. This is what we call default mode network.
Mm.
And the communication between these parts is disrupted in dementia because of the protein accumulation. So we use a mathematical model to calculate the disruption of this connectivity in people with dementia and also people who are healthy controls.
Mm-hmm.
And then using this connectivity disruption, we were able to predict who will develop dementia around 9 to 10 years in advance.
And then would you operate on the patient as if they've got dementia, start the treatment there and then? Is that right?
No, there's no operation. There's no surgery. It's not like a tumor or cancer where you can. It's a gradual death of the brain cells because of the protein accumulation. So for what we can do is if we can detect early,
yes,
we can provide treatments which can either slow down the disease process,
okay,
which is the slowing down of the death of the brain cells because of the protein accumulation,
mm,
or we can with there's lots of research happening and we probably can stop the disease if we can detect it early. The current problem is this, that we only detect dementia when people start showing symptoms.
Yes,
which is too late because they have their brains have shrunk, a lot of brain cells have died already, and it's too late to reverse the disease.
So once detected with dementia, then you got dementia for the rest of your life. Is that correct?
Of course.
Yeah,
and it worsens. So it's a degenerative disease. So,
okay.
So it will get worse and worse as you start to feel lots of, confused about it. You have lots of fog. You forget things, and slowly you start to lose your personality.
And so it deteriorates, your personality deteriorates your thinking process. And then does that affect then your physical side of things as well, does it?
Of course, because many of these dementias, they also have a component where they have movement disorders as well. For example, in Parkinson's, which means that you don't have control on your limbs, and in Huntington's disease, you have these dance-like moves and all that. So it has a physical manifestation as well as cognitive. And also in some of the dementia. So dementia is just one thing, but it can be caused by Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or Huntington's.
Yeah.
And they all have they have more aspects to it, just not dementia, for example, psychiatric problems, the depression.
And Professor Deal, is dementia, is it hereditary?
Some of them are. For example, Huntington's disease is a hereditary disease. It transfers from parents to the child.
Mm.
But many of the dementias causing diseases are not hereditary. And that's a problem, that we don't know who will develop dementia. So it's sporadic. And there are some lifestyle factors, for example, smoking is a kind of a thing that has shown to be a increased risk with smokers, people with certain lifestyle.
Mm.
Exercising more helps. Learning a new language when you are in your 50s or 60s could really help because it activates certain parts of the brain that you are not very much using. So yes. Things like, you know, remaining cognitively active, mm-hmm. and doing lots of mental tasks develops a reserve against the disease.
Okay, and with this testing, first of its kind test, can predict dementia up to 9 years before diagnosis. Was this co-authored through you and your co-author? Is this then passed on to the medical world, so to speak, so we can help across the globe?
Yes, these tests will go into the clinic.
Yes.
So this work that we have, of course, the other co-authors are clinicians who are interested in developing these tests with our with us, the method that we have developed. So this will, but it's not like that we can do this now, because there's a whole lot of trials needs to be done before we can actually make sure that it's safe and all that. But they will eventually make to the clinic in 3 years, hopefully.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing, and congratulations. Big shout out to your team there and your co-author. And look, it's beautiful work. And thank you for your yarn. And you take care and stay warm, my friend.
We will. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adele Yarn, beautiful yarn there. That's with Associate Professor Adil Razi, co-author. And we're talking about the first of its kind test can predict dementia up to 9 years before diagnosis. So, look, fantastic conversation there, and very important conversation regarding dementia, a yucky disease, and look, affecting a lot of our loved ones. And the fact that we can predict it 9 years before, well, that helps in regarding the process and prevention. So there it is, you mob. Have you saying Yanup Strong? I do the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM, Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So Yanup Strong, National Talk Black, too deadly.
I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootchopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootchopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootchopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootchopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
Hey, what's good on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindi country as BBM Bumber Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Fired up, talk about fired up. We're going to speak to now our CEO of Arjun Carbon Monitoring Hub, Deb Ross, and talk about the fantastic work that they're doing up there on the Cape. We're talking about Arjun Masters Fire Management on Cape York. And a very good morning to Deb Ross. Deb, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, my sister. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So I am an Alcoa traditional owner from Central Cape York, and everyone would know us from the firework that we've done previously and still do every year.
Every year, fantastic. So look, you're kicking a lot of goals there. We as black fellas know that fire is a powerful tool and we use that in all facets. So the work that you're doing using fire, we're talking about also employment opportunities for our mob up in the Cape. Paint the picture what Argent Carbon Monitoring is doing, sister.
Okay, so we have been, Alcoa has been using carbon abatement for many years to generate independent revenue to keep people on country and also keep country healthy. Mm-hmm. So with United Uprise, we bought an RTO and we partnered with Mick Blackman and Lisi from Fire Escape to build a package that would actually be able to train groups in carbon abatement, be able to help them become independent wealth, to gather independent wealth off their country and also be able to create jobs for people on country. So, you know, with all the handovers that have been happening of late, the determinations, you know, people have got country back. So we were thinking, well, what are they going to do when they get country back? And, you know, to be able to be self-funding is very important to any Indigenous group, I think. So we thought, well, carbon abatement is an amazing tool because you're working country, you're making country healthier, but a lot of the groups don't have the startup funds. You know, they don't have the equipment to get out there and do it. They don't have the training. They don't have any of those types of things. So one of the lessons that we've learned at Alcoa over the years is that you can do everything right, but unless you've got a fire crew to actually help you put out wildfires and help you manage country when you need to save your carbon abatement, then you lose everything you've put into it through the year. So so we thought, well, we need to have a monitoring station. So we put together the best crew that I could find, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, and we said, well, what tools do we need? So we've partnered with a group in America, and they have an AI camera system that you put out on country, and it monitors country 24 hours a day. It uses the Starlight satellite services to pick it up, sends you alerts and tells you whether a country's got new fire or new smoke or whatever is happening on your country. You can zoom in and see what's happening. So we'll be monitoring all of that, plus along with the bomb and NAFI and all the tools that are available to us. So we will monitor 24 hours, 7 days a week, and if there is wildfire response needed, we'll be able to alert the groups and say, do you have people that can go out and help you fight this fire, or do you need assistance? And so that's where we're talking about employment across Cape York. We're hoping to employ up to 20 to 30 people over the next 4 years, and have the first fully Indigenous firefighting crew that will be wildfire response. So these will be, you know, all year round jobs. They'll help them plan, they'll help groups plan for fire, do the fire, fight the fire, and help create independent wealth across Cape York amongst groups, because I think the days of government handouts are getting very numbered, but I would like to see other groups to have the success that we have had at Alcoa through carbon abatement.
Look, and we're talking employment here for both men and women.
Absolutely.
Black people, yes.
Absolutely.
Girls can do anything, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. We'd love to see more women and to be able to have women's teams that can go into women's spaces with the other traditional owners, because we'd like to marry up our firefighters with the traditional owners of those areas so that they go in under guidance, under cultural guidance, but they also will have, you know, a wide range of ages as well, because I don't think, you know, it is, you know, fighting fire is hard, so you've got to have different age groups in there. There's a bit of maturity, a bit of the younger ones as well. So, you know, we've been funded for the next 4 years, so we hope to make a big indent in Cape York.
Fantastic. Now, Argent CMH, and that's acronym for Carbon Management Hub, you're under the umbrella of Oakla. Is that how it works?
No, we're under the umbrella of United Uprise, which owns the RTO. But we're in partnership with Oakla. So Oakla is one of the major partners. So it's been, I think, 5-6 years in the making. So, the RTO is under United Uprise, and that's where all the training and upskilling comes from.
All right, and all the training is work, is it on ground, or do you bring them to Cairns, or where's that
no,
all happen?
No, we go on country with on people country, and we let them burn their own country so they can burn to their conditions. They can see what it looks like. They do vehicle maintenance, they do equipment maintenance, all those types of things. So they can learn on their country. We also deliver the Certificate 3 in land conservation management, which they can do in Cairns or they can do on country. So we're kind of just catering for Indigenous people to get back out on country and hopefully be able to earn a living and spend more time out there.
Well, if you're talking about living on country, you're talking about working on country and getting paid to look after your country. That's the best job in the world, is it not?
Oh, it is. I wouldn't trade it for the world. So.
And so with that, sister, when you look at that program as such, talking about job opportunities, but also talking about probably business opportunities as well for our black people on country,
Yeah, absolutely, because once you start creating wealth and you have unencumbered funds coming into your group, you can then decide what you want to do, whether it's tourism, agriculture, whether you want to go into roadworks and things like that. So, you know, building infrastructure, all those types of things, that's what carbon abatement can do for you as a group. Mm. So, and then, you know, spiraling off into smaller businesses for MOB, you know, we're a very creative group. So there's always something we can find to do, and if you have access to country, you can do that.
And can you paint a picture for our listeners out there regarding carbon credit and how all that works, Sister, please?
Yeah, so carbon abatement programs are run all year round. So basically you start planning for your year's fire in February, March. You put in your reports to the Clean Energy Regulator once the data has been released. Mm. So we start burning in June and we burn right the way through until the 1st of August. So in that time you do all of your protection burns, your cultural burns, your mosaic burns, you're walking the country, you know, you're out there, you're doing what you need to protect your country from those really intense wildfires that happen during the later season. Once you hit the 1st of August right through to the 31st of December, you're on fire watch. Okay. So you generate ACCUs by the amount of baseline credits that you're assessed to have. Mm. And so every bit of country that burns after that 1st of August actually eats into your ACCUs. So, and one ACCU is versus 1 hectare of land.
Okay.
So, so during that time, that's when it's critical because you have your, lightning strikes, you have arson, you have people out on country doing things that they shouldn't be, and that's when a lot of the groups are losing their money. They put all the work in and they've done all the planning, they've done all the burning and everything like that, but they don't have the resources to get out and actually fight the fires, and that's what we're hoping to change. So we will have all of that equipment that groups can use, so even if they don't want someone else to come and fighting their fire, they can have access to equipment to help them fight fire.
Well, we're talking about setting up a foundation for them to operate their business on, and that's looking after country using fire as the tool, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. And over the years, fire and is one of the critical tools to managing country, but it's also becoming a very big industry both here and overseas. It's one of the biggest things. Indigenous carbon credits are highly sought after.
Yes.
They're worth twice the amount of normal carbon credits. So, you know, groups can make a substantial living off country. They can build infrastructure. They can do things and get back out on country. And I think that is the most important thing.
Fantastic. And when you're talking about this joint venture having with this American company, you guys got a web page as such, or how do people be in touch or learn of you guys or engage with you guys?
We'll be opening our new offices here in Cairns in Sheridan Street on the 19th of August, where we'll have the operating centre up and running. Around the same time, the new website and everything will be released. Mm-hmm. There's a few media releases going out in the preempt to that, but we'll be doing live demonstrations. We're pulling together a conference of all traditional owners in Cape York to come down and actually see what this software can do and see what these cameras can do, because you can not only use them for fire management, but also you can manage your country and see, have a look at country over a year to see what the growth and the change that happens. So this is a really good surveillance tool for your lands.
Fantastic. Well, love the work that you're doing. Fantastic. And like I said, you can't beat that. Working on country, getting paid to do that. Like I said, best job in the world. Thank you for your yarn, Deb. Big shout out to your Deadly team. Keep doing what you're doing. And here we sit in one of your old offices, yes?
That's right. We were here for like 7 years or something like that, I think. So it was awesome. We just listened to you downstairs.
Thank you. There you go. We're still connected, my sister. All the best to you. You take care and we'll yarn soon, eh?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. Deb Ross, CEO, Argent Carbon Monitoring Hub, and look, working work closely with, well, under the umbrella of Oakla, and it's a fantastic vehicle as such, looking after country, using fire as a tool and getting paid to do it, and opportunities for employment for our mob in the Cape, on their country, and also opportunity for businesses as well. So there it is, your daily program, National Talk Black, yarn up strong here with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, and the BBM crew, Bummer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly.